Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Yes, it is. We had 31 in Sunday school this morning, so I want to encourage everyone, if you're not a part of our Sunday school classes, please consider that and come. We have classes for every age, and we have good discussions, and I know all of the Sunday schools and things like that as we study God's Word. I'd like to encourage you for that. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. If you have not, please take the time to sign up and provide flowers for the sanctuary. We are collecting items for the children's home April 26th through next Sunday, May the 10th. Items that can be donated are laundry detergent, tomato sauce, tomato paste, scalloped potatoes, mashed potatoes, ranch dressing, gift cards, Walmart gift cards. So please consider helping us with that. There's a box in the back, or I think there's, Temple again. There's a box in the back. You can bring your items and put in there. If you want to, if you decide to get a gift card or something, and you just want to, you can either give it to one of the deacons or Brother Tim. We'll make sure, if you don't want to leave it back there in the back, kind of understand that. But if you want to just give it to one of us, we'll make sure it gets delivered when we deliver the items. This Tuesday, May the 5th at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting. Guest speaker is Michelle Cope with Yellow Elephant Ministry. The men of the church will be serving the meal. So men, young men, what time do you need us here?
Probably.
It starts at 6:30.
So
if they're just serving, probably 6.
For you, that's 5:45.
Was it Yellow Elephant Ministry?
Yes.
Sound like a pizza company, though.
Okay.
Nobody wants to talk to. It's always the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
It's on suicide.
Yeah, suicide prevention, I think. So it'll be a great night and everything. But men, if you can be here around 6 and all, we'll get organized then and all, and ready to help serve this great ministry. Wednesday, May the 6th at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and church conference. So please remember that. Come fellowship with us, and then afterwards we'll have our prayer time and devotion and church conference. Thursday, May the 28th, we just had one, but May the 28th at 7 p.m. is not standing in the gale, but standing in the gap men's ministry meeting. I kind of like that. But Thursday, so mark your calendars, men. Sunday, May the 31st, it's hard to believe, but there's five Sundays in May, two full moons. So they still laughing about my typos. That's fine. Sunday, May the 31st is the Lord's Supper during the morning service, and our fellowship meal after the morning service. And then that night, Sunday, May the 31st, the evening services will be held in the original church. And I'm sure we'll be adding more to this as we just start May. So please pay attention to everything that's going on here. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for our time of fellowship this morning with the Sunday school breakfast, Lord. And we thank you for our past Sunday school hour, Lord, and the lessons and God's word that we studied this week, Lord. But I just pray, Lord, I pray for these services this morning, Lord, as we gather together, Lord, and as we talked about, Lord, we need to love you, Lord, with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind, this morning, Lord. And we also need to love others just like that, Lord. And I just pray that we can do that, Lord. And one expression of our love is gathering together to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just pray that we do that today, Lord. I pray for Brother Tim as he stands before us, Lord, and presents your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we not only be, as we always talk and discuss, hearers of it, but we'll be doers of it, Lord. And let us demonstrate our love, Lord, not just go around telling people we love them, but let us actually show people that we love them. Lord, I just pray for our song service as we enter into it. I just lift up Brother Harold, and I lift up Sissy to you as they lead us in our time of music. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's all worship together this morning as we sing hymn 213. And if you can, please stand.
Offertory hymn, Lord be glorified. service, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship our Savior and Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Brother Tim as he brings the message, give the words we need to hear, the courage to proclaim them as you would have. And Lord, we just thank you for his ministry to our church. Lord, we pray for the gift. We pray for the one that gives to this morning, Lord. We just pray that all of this will be used to further your kingdom and glorify you. We pray this in the name of our Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning, turn to Joshua chapter 22. I'm going to kind of take a break this morning, not a break from Joshua, but we're only going to read 6 verses instead of a whole chapter. But kind of to go through and try to find where the breaks are at with the scripture to be able to pull something from that. I want to look at these first 6 verses this morning, because I think we find a couple different things. First, we find some commendations from Joshua to the tribes that were going back across the Jordan to their inherited land that they had chosen. But then he also gives them some commands. Okay, he commends them for some actions. And then he commands them to do some things. And we, even today, I know we don't live under the law, but I believe that if we are a child of God, we should not want to do anything that would break God's laws or his commandments. And even in the New Testament, Jesus tells us to do things, right? And so we have the opportunity to learn from what Joshua commends them for, because as stewards of God, we are to be found faithful, right? But then we're also, because of the faithfulness, we see Joshua commends them, but then he challenges them or commands them to do things. And I think we can take these principles and apply them to our lives this morning. Well, we've seen how over the past couple weeks, the nation of Israel, they have inherited their land. We've seen how the tribes of Israel were divided out among their territories throughout the promised land. And if we look back, we're not going to turn there, but in Joshua 21, verse 44, it tells us that God gave Israel, or the land, rest. Okay? It didn't mean their work was finished. He gave them rest. He gave them peace. He gave them the opportunities to go and live in the land which he had promised to them. And so as we realize that, we realize the land has been divided between the tribes. The cities of refuge have been established, and you know, everything is going right. The Levites have their cities with its common lands. Joshua and Caleb have both been given their cities and land in which to live also. So everybody has everything they need. God has provided everything for them, their homes, their lands, everything along those lines. And now they are inheriting it. But since the major battles against the Canaanites have been won, yes, there were still things that need to be done. People need to be driven out of their individual territories. The nation of Israel is at a place now where the 2.5 tribes, remember, that were east of the Jordan. Joshua said, listen, guys, the work's done. We're going to send you home, okay? We're sending you back to the land that Moses said you could inherit on the eastern side of the Jordan. So let's go ahead and just read. It said, then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God is giving rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. We read that in Sunday school this morning, right, adults? So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. We pray with the Heavenly Father, as we have read these verses this morning, Lord, lead us and guide us in our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, so that one day when we stand before you, Lord, we will hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, help us also to hear those words for us to enter into the joy of your rest. Lord, you have given the Israelites, in this sense, the promised land. You have given them a land of rest, a time of peace, a time of prosperity. Lord, but it is all based on, Lord, their response to you, how they love you, how they follow your lead and your commands for them. Lord, help us as New Testament believers, Lord, to realize that we're not under the law. You've set us free from that by saving us. But Lord, we're not to quit on doing the things that honor and please you. So Lord, help us this morning to see through your word how we should live out our lives as believers. Lord, lead us, guide us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I say, the land's been divided. The cities of refuge have been established. The Levites have their lands. Joshua and Caleb have their cities and their common lands. and everything is going as it should. But remember last week I said that the nation of Israel was a nation under God, right? Now we call ourselves one nation under God, right? But the nation of Israel was truly one nation under God. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a committee or House of Representatives or a Senate. They didn't have that. They didn't have governors, so to speak. They had judges, but that was all leading up to this. But because of this, they didn't have a police force. They didn't have CIA, Homeland Security, or anything else. They had a group of people who needed to live under the lordship of God the Father. Amen? Because if you don't live according to his rules, you have chaos. Joshua knew this, and I believe it was God-given insight as well and God's inspiration. But Joshua, listen, for all these years, the nation of Israel has been traveling together. For 40-something years, for probably 47, 48 years now, they have been, when they left out of Egypt, they've been wandering around. And then it took about seven and a half years for them to conquer the promised land, right? So for all this time, Joshua has been the leader. Moses was a leader, right? And they led the people in God's ways. Now, did they always go God's way? No. But Moses' job was to intercede on behalf of the people, but it was also a priest that, was a go-between between God and the people. He was a leader, and Joshua filled those shoes and did a great job. He wasn't perfect, but he did what was right. He did what God wanted him to do. So, they are coming to this time. The war's pretty much over. It's time to divide up the land. They've done that, but now everybody has to go home. It's one thing to look toward the promised land and think about this, because from Genesis chapter 12, when God promised Abraham all the way through up until Joshua here in chapter 22, where the people are actually going and inheriting their land, it's been somewhere between 640 and 680 years. It's been a long time, but it's always been looking forward to something. That's a lot different than actually having possession of that. To be able to say, well, this is in the future. No, this is something now. This is a place that Joshua is sending them that they can call home. They can call home. Joshua commends them. I said this in the beginning. Joshua commends them for four things, at least, that I see here. Number one, they kept all the commandments of Moses. That didn't mean they didn't mess up from time to time here again. But they kept the commandments of Moses, just as these verses 1 through 3 say. They also kept all the commandments of Joshua. The people did what he told them to do. And you can bank on it that what Joshua and Moses told the people was what God told them to tell the people. So Joshua is commending them for keeping the commandments of Moses and Joshua themselves. But then he also commends them because there's one thing that is probably a serious problem in America today, in our churches, in our homes, in our marriages, and that is the fact that people do not keep their commitments. Can I get an amen? Or am I? You see, Joshua commends the people for not leaving their brothers. Because remember when the Israelites were were on the eastern side of the Jordan, and they were going to go into the Canaanite territory, the promised land as we know. They were going from east to west, and there was 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They decided, hey, we don't want to go on the other side. There's green grass over here, and we got a lot of cows, a lot of goats, a lot of sheep, and we would rather live on this side. We don't want to be on the other side with our water. Moses tell them, okay, you can have this side, but you got to leave your wife and your kids on this side, and when we cross over, men of war, you got to cross with us. And you can't go home to your wife and kids until you have won the territory for your brothers, right? So they said, okay, that sounds good to us. We promise. Well, he commends them because they have not left their brothers. Even though times got challenging, things got rough at times, they hung in there. They did what they said they would do. They helped their brothers conquer the territory on the western side of the Jordan. But then most importantly, Joshua commends them because they have kept the commandments of the Lord their God. They've kept all the commandments. Here again, I'm not saying they were perfect in what they did, but they kept the commandments of the Lord their God, and Joshua recognized that in them. So we find that when Joshua here is sending them home, he did not send them home empty-handed. Because a lot of times you would think, well, okay, you know, you wanted wealth, prosperity on that side. We're going to send you back to see what you can find over there. No, he didn't. And he said, well, how do I know it? Well, in Joshua chapter 22, verse 8, it says that Joshua didn't send them away empty-handed. He sent them home with very much livestock, silver, gold, bronze, iron, and very much clothing. Joshua sent them back full. You know, the blessings of God normally don't leave us empty. They leave us filled, and I think that's same here with Joshua. But we realize that Joshua was sending them back, entering into rest. And that's really what the whole book of Joshua is about. It's about the Israelites finding a place of rest, finding a place they could call home, inheriting the land that God had promised. Because listen, if you made me a promise that in 2 years you would do something, probably in 2 weeks I'd be forgot about it. Right, but for the Israelites, for all these centuries, they have been looking forward to this. I'd probably given up on it by then. I said, well, you know, God must have forgot about me, but he didn't. I want us to think about something as we go through here. We see the commendations that Joshua has given to the Israelites. But what I really want to focus on this morning, and it's going to be brief, probably one of the briefest sermons you ever hear me preach, but I want us to look at these commandments that Joshua gives and then apply them to all lives. Here they are. I'm just going to bring them up. Verse 5 there. Let's we'll get back to verse 5 for this second. All right, listen. Now, as we read these, I want us to look at our own hearts, our own lives, and say, God, how does this apply to me? Okay? Because every time we read the scripture, what should we ask? How do I apply this to me? Because you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't know how to use it, what good is it, right? Wisdom is doing things God's way, right? But that's what wisdom is, using knowledge, gospel. So, let's read. This is what he commands them to do. He said, but take careful heed to do. Do is a what? A verb, right? It means, what does a verb mean? Action, right? A verb is an action. So he's saying do. It means to take action, to do something, to accomplish something. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Number one, to do. It's amazing how many times when you're in Sunday school and then you come in here and you've already talked about what you're going to talk about in church, but that's okay because it shows that the Bible's all together, right? James tells us to be doers of the word and what? Not hearers only. Be doers of the word. I can know the Ten Commandments. I could quote them by law or by in order. I'm word by word, front ways, back ways. I could quote the 613 laws that were in the Old Testament. I could do all that, and if I knew how to do them, and I didn't do them, what good is it? So Joshua is challenging them. He is commanding them to do the commandments of the Lord, the commandments that Moses had given them, because ultimately the commands Moses gave them came from who? From God, right? So Joshua's saying this, if you're going to be a people ruled by God, you got to follow his ways. Right? You've got to do things his way. So number one, he commands them to do. Point number two, he tells them to love who? What was our Sunday school lesson on this morning? To love the Lord your God with half your heart, with half your strength, with half your mind, with half your soul. Is that what it says? It says with all. Love the Lord your God. We're to love him first and foremost. Before anything else, before anybody else, love God first. In Mark chapter 12, and let's go back to John 14, 15. Here's my do verse, okay? Because I always like to put a verse with an action word. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Do your own thing. No. Keep my commandments. So even in New Testament time, Jesus is saying basically the same. If you say you love me, you got to prove it. Right? Not to earn my salvation, but because I love you and you love me in return, the simplest thing you can do is do what I tell you to do. So moving on. Love. Love is an action, right? It's a verb also. It's not something we just say. It is something that we do. It takes, and this type of love is a sacrificial love. You know, David said in the Old Testament, he said, I will not offer God something that costs me nothing. I won't give to God. How can we worship God if it doesn't cost us anything? Amen. How can you say you love me without actions or proof to back it up? So, here again, going back to the same thing, Mark 12, 30 through 31. Jesus says, and you shall love the Lord your God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, with some of your mind, with some of your strength. Is that what it says? It said with all. What does all mean? All. It, every bit of my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, every part of who I am should love God first and foremost. I love him all. This is the first command. Second, I like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. You know why? If you get these two right, you don't have to worry about the 613 other laws plus the other eight commandments that God gave. So love him first. We're not going to have idols or worship other gods. And we're not going to take the Lord's name in vain. We're not going to do those things. We're not going to steal. We're not going to cheat people. We're not going to covet somebody else's stuff. Well, everything else is going to be too, because Jesus said, unless this one, all the laws and the prophets hang on these two. Everything hangs on these two verses. Get those right. Our neighbors are going to be our friends. We're going to love them as we love ourselves. We're going to love God. We're going to serve God. We're going to do his will in our lives. And Joshua knew. He said, listen, you get these things right, everything else falls into place. You've got to do things God's ways, the way he wants us to. Back in Joshua chapter 22, though, we find another commandment that he gives to them. He says to love the Lord your God, and then he says to walk in all his ways. To walk in all his ways. What does it mean to walk? Walk from here to the door. It means to live out. It means your daily lifestyle, your daily conduct. Everything about my life from the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to bed. Now, while I'm asleep, y'all just leave me alone, amen? Because I don't know what I'm doing anyhow. But from morning to the time I lay down at night, I should be walking in God's ways. You say, well, that's the Old Testament, okay. I'll throw out some good ones for you in the New Testament. And I'm not going to read all these. I am going to have Sean pull up 1 Thessalonians 2:12. But then I'm going to give you some other references. Paul said this, if you say I am a saved child of God, I know that if I die today I'm going to heaven because I have placed my faith and trust in Christ alone. I've called upon his name, I've asked him to save me, and he's coming to my heart. Now, here's our responsibility. Paul said that you would walk worthy. Of who? Of God. That you walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we know what walk means. It means to walk, live a daily lifestyle, daily conduct should reflect who Jesus is in my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. Everything about me should reflect that reality. But when you put the word worthy in there, what does worthy mean? Here we go. Remember the old scale? Well, I hope y'all were never in front of a judge. But if you've seen them on TV, they used to have these things on the desk, the judge's desk, and they were called a scale, right? And you had this scale, and you had something that was this weight over here and something that was of this weight over here. And the idea here between worthy means of equal worth, okay? Of equal worth. So I am to live my life daily in the equality of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Does that make sense? Can I ever do that? Can I strive to do that? Yes, that means that each and every day I'm trying to, not that I'm earning it, but that I'm showing my love, my appreciation for what God has done for me by living my life out in a way that was worthy to my salvation. Joshua tells him to to walk in all of God's ways. I said I'd give you these references, so I am. Ephesians 4:1, Colossians 1, verse 10, all say the same thing. Walk worthy. Walk worthy. Joshua goes on to say to keep his commandments. This is very similar to the duty, to keep them, to honor them, to respect those laws, not just to brush them off, but to keep them day by day. What does it mean to keep? It means to hold on to and secure what you believe defensively. Paul tells us to always be ready to give a defense of our what? Of our faith, of what we believe. Be ready, study to show yourself approved. But we are to say, hey, I can keep it. I know it in my heart. Keep these commands in my heart, because if I don't keep them up front and center, then I'm going to break them. I'm not going to keep them if I don't keep them in the forefront of my life. But then he says to hold on to. Hold on to him. Hold on to God. Hold on to Jehovah. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on. The problem is with most of us, if we had to hold on to God, we'd have let go a long time ago, amen? But the concept is to cling to God, cling to him, hold on to him. The book of Hebrews tells us that we are, Hebrews 6:19. He said, this is the hope we have as an anchor of the soul. To hold fast literally means to anchor oneself to someone or something. The best thing we can anchor our lives to is Christ. To hold on to him. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Jesus Christ was our forerunner. He is the place where our anchor is held on to. Because he is the one holding us, amen? We don't have to, because he has already got a hold of us. Joshua goes on to say, though, in the sixth action word, says to serve. Serve him. Serve. Serve him with what? Half-heartedly, only when it feels good, only when we got time, only when we got the money, only when we have the education, only when it suits us. Serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Everything about us should long to serve him. How do we do that? In our Sunday school, the team Sunday school class this morning, we talked about a horizontal relationship with God. Our vertical relationship with God, our horizontal relationship with others. We serve God by serving who? Others. And if you're not serving others, you're not serving God, plain and simple. Amen? Oh, man, it got quiet. If we're not serving others, we're not serving God. Plain and simple. There's no in between, because how can we claim our relationship with God is right if we won't talk to our neighbors, if we don't love our neighbors, if we don't take care of our neighbors and share God's love with our neighbors? Well, I'm good. So, well, I'm serving, but ain't no fun in it. Psalm 100, verse 2, says we are to serve the Lord with what? See, the reality is, for many of us, we lose the joy of our salvation because we're not living in it. We lose the joy of serving God because we got to the point where we think we're more important. because we're placing ourselves ahead of God instead of placing others there. Can't serve Him with gladness if we got ourselves stuck in the way. Come before His presence with singing. Man, we should live that up. Listen, just because the Israelites were inheriting their promised land didn't mean they were to give up. It didn't mean it was time to quit serving, to quit loving, to quit doing all that God had commanded them. Because so many times, one of the common features in most churches, and I'm not pointing any fingers, but there's one saying that drives me nuts, and you know what it is? We used to. We used to. We used to do this, we used to do that, we used to, and I'm thinking, well, what happened before I got here that you quit doing all that you quit doing, right? We used to. Joshua didn't want the children of Israel to get to their inheritance and say, we used to. We give up. We don't have to do these anymore because there was danger in there. Joshua wanted the nation of Israel to keep God front and center in their lives and everything they did. And for a New Testament believer, it's no different for us because Paul says in Colossians 1:18, he says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have, what's the next word? Preeminence. What does preeminence mean? First place. First place. Because when we put, for the Israelites, they put God first place in their lives, they didn't have to worry. When we as New Testament believers put Christ first place in our lives, guess what? We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. That in all things he may have first place or center, be the centerpiece of our lives. I thought about Joshua here, and I want to go back just for a minute and look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Because Joshua is basically encouraging the people as he's sending them off to their territories. He's encouraging them much the same way that God encouraged him as a leader. Listen to what it says. I want to be strong and very courageous. That word courage means stand up, be a man. Okay? Not ladies, but men, right? Be courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it how often? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is what God was telling to Joshua. Now Joshua was saying, listen, if you want your way to prosper, if you want to be successful, succeed in what you do, you have got to put God first. Do what He tells you to do. Love Him. Keep His commandments. Walk with Him. Man. Joshua wanted the people to be successful. Joshua wanted them to prosper. But in order to do so, they needed to do things God's way. And I believe it's the same way for us today. In order for us to be prosperous, to be successful in what we do, we have got to put God first. not in our marriages, in our homes, with our kids, with our church, with our community. We've got to put God first. Because if he's not first, that means that we or somebody else is. And that's not how it works. For us today, Matthew 22, verse 37. Here again, we covered this morning in Sunday school. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If we want to have success in life, then we need to practice these six action words that Joshua gave to the Israelites. We are to do God's commands. We are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Love our neighbors as ourselves. To walk in all of God's ways, not just the ones we pick and choose. We are to keep God's commandments. In other words, to do them, hold on to him. Anchor our souls to him. Live it out day by day. But then serve him. Serve him with gladness. Serve him because you love him. Serve him because you want to, not because you have to, not because somebody's making you. But let me ask you this as we close this morning. You see, these people were inheriting the promised land. The Bible tells us about another promised land, right? For those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, a place of rest that we can go to, a place of rest that we can call home, a place of unimaginable beauty, a place where we can worship 24 hours a day, right? Are you certain you're going there? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But here's the thing. Heaven is a prepared place for people who are prepared. And you don't get there by default. You get there by putting your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. If you trust in your good works, your grandma, grandpa, what they did, or your cousins, or your aunts, or your don't get you there. By simply placing our faith and trust in him. If you haven't done so, I encourage you today. But maybe today we say, oh, Brother Tim, I'm just, you know, those six action words got me. Maybe today you need to recommit yourself to the Lord. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm sorry for not doing these. Because they still apply to us today. But are we living them out? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray for one who may be here who is lost and has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. They can't say that there's a promised land waiting for them. Today, Lord, they may want to put their faith and hope in you. You alone for salvation. Lord, for others today, maybe we just need to recommit ourselves to you. Lord, to realize that without you being first place in our lives, Lord, we're off track. We're not doing all that you have asked us to do. Salvation is free, but love is action. So Lord, help us to not do it out of hypocrisy. To not doing it plain pretend, but to fully love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Lord, may you have first place in our lives in everything we do and everything we say. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.